Thank you, Mixed Quartet. I would like you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. I am going to have to greatly reduce my message this morning. I totally misjudged the time as far as planning this ahead of time, but this is the most important part, and I trust that this message will be a challenge to you. John chapter 8, I just want to start by reading verses 30 and following. John chapter 8, verse 30, as he, that is Jesus, spake these words, many, and you'll notice the word believed on him, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to focus on those words, if ye continue in my word. Let's pray. Father, as we now look into your word, I pray that you would use this to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that there be one here who is unsaved or a believer who is wavering, Lord, that you would use this message in their hearts and in their lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to let you know something. Not everybody who professes to believe in Jesus Christ is actually a believer in Christ. Not everybody who believes, who says he believes, is actually a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. An unsaved man may think himself to be a disciple of Christ, and he may even appear to be a disciple of Christ, and he's really an unbeliever. Can you think of any disciples who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, who was called a disciple, who appeared to be a believer to everybody, but he was found out? Judas Iscariot appeared to be a believer. Judas Iscariot is listening to Jesus say these very words. Not everybody who professes to believe in Christ is actually a disciple of Christ. How do you know if somebody is really a disciple of Christ? How do you know if somebody has truly been saved? Too often we assume that somebody's saved because they say so, and disregard the fact that they don't live so. We take everybody's word for it. But the Bible talks about having to see some fruit. And if there's no fruit, there is every right to question whether somebody really knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's so much easy believism today. Somebody just has to say, well, I'm a Christian, and nobody has any right to dispute them. I say that unless they live it, you have a right to dispute it. And yes, you do have a right to judge scripturally. Because you must take the word of God, compare it to that person, and there ought to be something that is seen. The life ought to have been changed to where you can see a difference in their life, where they reflect the Lord Jesus Christ they claim as their Savior. There needs to be fruit. So there may be some here this morning who say, I'm a Christian. And let me say something. You say that, but where's the proof? My heart's desire is that there be no one here who has been coming to Westside for 10, 15 years or just 1 year or a few months who claims to be saved, might even be a member here, and is not even saved. I was talking to somebody this week whose father was a pastor. And this person's brother does not live for the Lord today, but told this sibling, well, I went through the motions years ago. Others say, well, I said the prayer. And you know what they're resting on? They're resting on the fact that they went through the motions, and they're resting upon a prayer that somebody told them to pray. and their faith is in that. It is not in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I fear that for people. Perhaps some who are seated in front of me today. Would you please notice that it says in verse 30, those who believed. Those who believed. Those who believe in verse 30, and then Jesus says something to those Jews which believe on him in verse 31. Would you please look at verse 59 and look at what these same people are ready to do? Then took they, who are the they? They are the ones who believed in verse 30, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed in verse 31, they took up stones to cast at him. They were ready to stone the Lord Jesus Christ. So obviously what you have in verses 30 and 31 is a spurious faith, an unauthentic faith. It is not genuine. It is not real. How do you know if somebody's salvation profession is real? Exactly about what Jesus said to those Jews which said they believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. And the word indeed means truly or actually. Or as it says, indeed you are my disciples. What's the condition? If you continue. And folks, continuance is the test of reality. It is not a mere profession. It is continuance. You see that word continue there? It's the same word translated in verse 35, abideth. It is the same word translated abide that is used 11 times in John chapter 15. You know the abide chapter? And Jesus is saying, the test is not that you say you believe on me. The test is, are you going to continue in my word? That's the test. In your outline, and I'm not even going to go through the outline now, you'll see the word meno. M-E-N-O. That's the transliteration of the word that is used here for continue. It means continue. Remain, abide. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Here's the first point that I would have given you. It's the impact. The impact of meno. You see, Jesus does not right away accept these new believers as converts. Instead, he puts them to the test. That word then that's at the beginning of verse 31 is the word therefore. In other words, Jesus is indicating he has something to say to those who believed on him. And then he uses the word if. So here's the evidence of true belief. If you continue, if you remain, if you abide, that word implies that there are obstacles to be overcome. It's the opposite of quitting. Continue. It's a word that is used over 100 times in the New Testament. Continue, abide, remain. And one particular man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses it more than anybody else. He uses it more than 50 times. It's the Apostle John. Many times right here in this gospel, and many times in his first epistle that he writes, 1 John. I know, and we know, that once saved, always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. If you are truly saved, you cannot lose it. But we know that once saved, always saved, because God will continue the work of salvation in you, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You cannot lose your salvation. There are some who believe that you can. It is impossible, if you have truly been saved, to ever lose your salvation. The impact here is Jesus says, if ye continue. But then I want you to see the object of meno. The object is, if you continue in my word. In my word, that's the heart of the meno principle of that word that is used right there. So what does it mean to continue in my word? I've got two things that I would like to point out to you. Number one, that you study God's word. You know, people are studying a lot of books today. They're studying what John Piper says. They're studying what John MacArthur says. They're studying what this man says and what this man says and what this man says. And their theology is based upon what all these men are saying. Quit getting your theology from all these men. Get your theology from the Bible. Study God's word. Don't study books more than you study the book. Keep your nose in this book. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You say, well, I've already read my Bible once. Then read it again. Well, I've read it twice. Then read it a third time. And when we read it the third time, read it the fourth and the fifth. You keep going through your Bible, and that's where you're going to get your doctorate, Brother Hergert. Is when you read your Bible time and time and time and time again, and it's not just something you try to accomplish in a year. It's something that you accomplish on a daily basis, that you meditate on God's word. And don't just study the parts that you like. You know the good stories? Wade through the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers, and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your heart and your mind. Study God's word. Secondly, obey it. When you read something, you obey it. The reason some people don't experience any spiritual freedom is because they are biblically literate, but biblically disobedient. You must obey God's word. If somebody hears the word of God but does not obey the word of God, he is not continuing in the word of God. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. 1 John 3:24 says this, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth, there's the word continue, continues in him and he in him, he that keepeth his commandments. And then I see lastly the effect of minnow, the effect of it. And you'll see that in verse 31. You're my disciples indeed. That's identification. You're my disciples indeed. And then you also see illumination in verse 32, and you shall know the truth. You will know the truth. You know why some people don't know the truth? They think the truth, I go back. Because they read some guy in his book and what he said. And it is so attractive. It is so well written. And man, this guy can get up and speak and everybody just fawns over him. And everybody's so impressed by him. But they're not learning the truth. They're learning that man's opinion. This is more than simply knowing what is true. It is knowing the truth. How do you know the truth? Continue in my word. Continue in my word. Truth about what? Who God is, the nature of man, the way of salvation, the way of Christian living. You are united with him who is the truth. Illumination. But then you also have independence. And the truth shall make you, out loud please, free. To tell somebody they will be set free is to imply that they are not free at the moment. Free from what? The following verses make it clear. We don't have time to read them, but the following verses make it clear to be free from sin. Because until you are freed from sin, you are a slave to sin. There are people who preach freedom from sin who are involved in sin. They're not free. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, it talks about not continuing on in sin. Would you just go there with me quickly, please? I think this is a verse that we need to point out. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6, 1 and 2. A genuine disciple does not continue in sin. He continues in God's word. So to be free, as Jesus says here in verse 32, is not to do as you wish, it is to do what you should do. according to the Scriptures. Those who mock Christians for not being free to do whatever you want to, you will find they are the very ones who are slaves, shackled to sin, church, religion, and human tradition. Understand something about those who mock narrow-minded believers. They think they are free. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" You see, they think they're free. And they mock the narrow-minded believers. They're actually the ones in bondage. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." If you're constantly committing sin, that is your master. You are its servant. There's no more cruel master than sin. And there's something that is so intimidating or something so sobering to know about sin, you can get used to it. A couple of years ago, we were going to a family reunion, and the motels in Hutchinson, Kansas were all filled up. And so I went online and found this motel. There was a golf tournament in Hutchinson. All the motels, we found one room. We got there, and it was a smoking room. And it was smoking. We walked in there and it smelled so badly. I tried to get, we couldn't get out of it. We went to church and they smelled it on us. But you know what happened? You'd go in there and you'd be so offended by this smell, just, oh, it drove you away. But after you were in there for a little while, you didn't really notice it anymore. It was like, well, this isn't so bad. You sleep there all night. Wake up, you don't smell it anymore. And then you leave, go to church, come back, and it just hits you all over again. This is the way sin is, folks. You keep committing it, you keep excusing it, and pretty soon, you know what? It's not so bad anymore. But you know what? You open your Bible and you read God's Word, and all of a sudden it hits you in the face again. You know what I'm doing is wrong. I'm in sin. You know what the safe thing to do is? Just never open this, you think. And you'll never have to smell yourself. You'll never have to see how bad you stink in your sin. If ye continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples. My challenge to Westside Baptist Church is that we continue in God's word for the next 20 years, just to have a landmark. For as long as we're here until the rapture takes place, maybe next year, we continue in God's word. But I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who says, oh, I think I'm saved, but there's no proof. I challenge you this morning. Is there fruit?